It's less than a month until the Premier League is back, which means it's time to get planning. We talk you through all of the rule changes, we plan our very early squads, and yes, don't worry, we're all still as chaotic as ever. It is less than a month to go until the Premier League is back, which means just one thing. It is finally time for us to talk FPL. Yes, the FPL pod is back, which means once again, Kelly Summers with you alongside, of course, Sam Bonfield and Julian Laron. We've missed you. Firstly, Sam, it's nice to be back, isn't it?
Yeah, I've missed this. I was just saying to the guys before we started recording, I was like, I didn't know what to do with myself on a Thursday morning. I know it's not Thursday morning right now, but when we don't have a pod to record, it's like, oh, it's a bit boring, isn't it? I can't work out what day of the week it is. So yes, good to be back.
Yeah, it's all felt a little bit more real having seen the prices, kind of being able to pick a team. We'll come on to that very soon. But Jules, how's your summer been? Because I think it's been a bit like mine, a lot of football.
A lot of football, Kel. Together we did the Club World Cup. Me in London, you in London, and then in the US, which you were lucky and great to see Chelsea winning it. To give them a bit of momentum and maybe having an impact on all of our FPL teams. How many Chelsea players will we have in our team, or, you know, the managers in their team? But yeah, it felt like he hasn't really stopped that. We're already talking about the start of the season in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, when I interviewed Enzo Maresca post-match after Chelsea won the Club World Cup, I kind of said, are you excited about what you're building at Chelsea at the moment? His response was, yes, I'm excited, but I'm more excited about the 3 weeks that I've got off now. I think he said it was 3 weeks. I can't remember exactly. But I think, yeah, their season, Chelsea's season, ended last week. And congratulations to them, as you said, Jules. It was an incredible experience watching them out there. And the other thing to say, a few people have messaged me saying, has there been no podcast? Has there been no FPL because you've been away doing the Club World Cup? It was nothing to do with me. We were just keeping you waiting. And now the game is live. The game is ready. And we're going to go through our first drafts because, yes, guys, we have already made first drafts that we want to run through together and for you guys to listen to. But you may have noticed there have been some big changes to the game. 7 massive ones, in fact. I'm quite excited about these, but do listen carefully. And I'm sorry if I have to read quite a lot, but I want to make sure that you guys understand them all. Sam, of course, is going to be helping me through this. Let's talk chips, firstly, because we all love chips, don't we? Firstly, the assistant manager chip is no longer part of the game. Instead, we've got 2 sets of chips, which is brilliant if you're someone like me that kind of tries to keep them right until the end of the season, because now I don't have that. I won't be able to because I have to use my first set in the first half of the season. You then have to use your second set of chips in the second half of the season. So in the past, of course, we've only had 2 wild cards, one for the first half of the campaign, one for the second, but only one each of the other chips. But Sam, there's going to be 2 of all of the other chips other than the assistant manager, of course, aren't there?
Yeah, so you'll get an extra free hit, an extra triple captain, and an extra bench boost chip. So I think it will make a massive difference, Kels, because like you say, you're not going to be able to just hold all of these chips indefinitely. Like with the wild card, you've got to use it by game week 19. So you'll have those chips to use in the first half of the season and then exactly the same chips again in the second half. So I suspect that the chips for the second half of the season will probably be used in a similar sort of way to the ones that we had already in the game. But obviously it's going to mean that we are likely to play the bench boost, the triple captain and the free hit at a different time to when we would normally have. Although, having said that, I did play my triple captain in game week 9 last year, so it'd be similar again, but obviously I have the benefit of having it later also. So it feels like a massive change, but if we think that the assistant manager was run over 3 weeks last year, we're really keeping the chips running for the same amount of weeks this season. It's just there'll be different ones.
Jules, I remember at the end of last season when you in particular were chasing me down and you used your chips in different weeks because of when you played your assistant manager, you were forced into certain things. And it made it quite exciting, didn't it, when we were all playing them in different weeks, because there can be bigger swings. So the first thing I thought of when I heard this rule change was, this is good, because if you're behind in a mini league, if you're playing catch up anywhere, there's almost more opportunities to make up ground.
Yeah, completely. I mean, it's more chaos, that's for sure.
And that's we love chaos, don't we?
We love chaos, and our show is about chaos, and I think a lot of the managers live through the game with chaos too, and what do I do and what should I do that, and sometimes it's just a gut feeling and you say, okay, I'm going to play triple captain this weekend without really any logic to it sometimes. And now that's double all of that. So I think it's brilliant. You're right. I think certainly in the second half of the season, it helps you maybe a lot to be able to catch up, because if you'd played like Sam, her triple captain in game week 9, that was it. It was gone. Now you've been able to play one in the first half of the season. And then in the second half of the season, be able to maybe catch up in your mini leagues, catch up people above you, because you'll have another chance to playing it and maybe making count more than the first one that you played earlier in the season. So I think that's great. And I think, again, it gives you more opportunities to have some really, really special game weeks where you can reach 100 plus points, really, when you play your chips wisely.
Sam, I remember last season when people played things, particularly the bench boost, and it went a little bit wrong, or triple captain as well, I think, when people were saying, I'm just going to use it in game week one and get it out of the way. I do wonder if it is going to make us see more people use chips in game week one, because we know we've got the luxury of having more. Last season alone, we saw over 220,000 triple captain chips played in the opening game week and almost 145,000 bench boosts. That's only going to rise, isn't it?
Massively. Yeah, I'll be one of them. I'll be...
Really,
we're already week
planned.
Ooh, well, first, short, first announcement.
The bench boost. Yeah, I'm planning.
To get it out of the way.
Well, also, because I think with the thing with the bench boost chip is that you want to use it in conjunction with a wild card, right? Because then you're spreading the money across the 50.
And then you can offload them, can't you, then, once they've played on your bench? Yeah.
Exactly. And given I'll be using an early-ish wild card anyway, in and around the Champions League starting, that's my strategy.
Can we just look at Jules' face during this? Because he looks so confused.
How have you planned all of this already? Like, this is July...
What have you been doing, Jules? Why have
21st. I mean, Kelly and I, you know, that Club World Cup, to be fair, kept us busy. But like, that you already have everything pan out is just amazing, I think. So.
This is Sam's full-time job. She is literally...
I know, I've got a strategy myself. I'm just not going to reveal it now.
No strategy. You'll just write mine down and then copy it.
Maybe. You've got a few weeks to make your full strategy. Don't worry.
Exactly.
We don't all... And there's going to be lots of people listening to this who probably haven't even opened the app, or maybe they've opened the app and started making early plans, or maybe they're further ahead than Sam. Who knows? But that's what's good about our listeners, Jules. I think we hopefully represent all of them. You're one of the end of the spectrum. Sam's the other. And I sometimes kind of hover in between, I think. Anyway, so sorry, Sam, we interrupted you just because Jules' face, his jaw was literally dropping to the floor. Had you finished your point?
So bench boost game we won, and then in a wild card, probably just a few weeks after that. And on the basis then that I don't have to keep all that money. So I've tried to spread my money as much as I can across the 15, because obviously I'll need two playing keepers and all of that stuff. Give me a couple of weeks into the season, then some of those players will go, and then I'll be able to afford some extra premiums. That's the plan.
Okay, on to the second rule change then. Jules, write some notes down.
That's amazing.
No,
it makes sense. I know. I mean, I've got a different strategy, but it's okay. Like,
hold on a sec. Have you got your notebook with you?
I'm writing the changes because I was not sure if I'd remembered them all. So here we go. Keep going. Changes.
I should also let listeners into the secret that Jules is in France. That's why you may notice a different backdrop. So I did wonder if you had your usual notebook with you and you don't have your talent.
No, I was not prepared.
Was it vision?
That's a problem.
Yeah.
This is not a good start.
No, this is a very bad start from you.
Away from Jules' notebook and back to the rule changes. Good to know some things haven't changed over the summer. Defensive contributions. Now, Sam, I'm going to lean on you heavily to help me explain this one, because this is one that to me kind of links into other forms of fantasy football, because this is something that's bigger in other games. And I'm excited that FPL brought this in because it adds another element. Now, all outfield positions can earn defensive contribution points, but the aim is to recognise the completed defensive actions of centre-backs and defensive midfielders.
Yes, so, the previously unloved players of the game. That's what we describe
it
them
sounds
as.
Like I'm churning out an encyclopedia or a thesaurus or a really complicated book here, but I'm going to try and say it in the clearest possible way. So any defender who reaches a combined total of 10 clearances, blocks, interceptions and tackles... It says on my notes here in brackets, CBIT, as if anyone would know what CBIT is, in a match will score 2 FPL points. They have to get 10 of them to get 2 FPL points. Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah?
Yep.
Okay. Talk to me about the midfielders and forwards with this, though, as well, because they're also going to get points for it, Sam.
Yes, they will. So the defenders will get them for the things that you've just said, but also the midfielders and the forwards can score these points also. It's more likely to be the midfielders that pick up these points, but nonetheless, the forwards can still get them if they do. So they, like the defenders, have to make clearances, blocks, interceptions and tackles in order to get these, but they also have ball recoveries as part of their defensive contribution. So if they recover a loose ball, pick it up, pass it forward and start a progressive move for their team. If they complete a tackle, and rather than the ball going out for a corner or for a free kick, or not, wouldn't be for a free kick, but for a throw-in, something like that, if rather than it going out, it stays in, they get up and they continue the move, they would pick up a ball recovery point. So in theory, they could pick up two for that, doing a tackle and then also doing a ball recovery also. And there's a really nice video of Caicedo doing this last year that you can watch on the Premier League website. So go and have a look if you're not sure what a ball recovery is. But the midfielders and the forwards have to do 12. So they have to do 12 tackles, blocks, clearances, interceptions or ball recoveries in a game, and then they will pick up 2 points. But you can only pick up 2 points. It is capped.
Still with
Jules' face. Jules is like, what is she talking about?
I was, to be fair, this was the only change I knew about anyway coming into this show. And I think this was long due.
It does feel like that. It feels like it's something that we've seen in other games, and it's something that has perhaps been ignored. As Sam said previously, the unloved players are actually getting recognition for what they do well on the pitch.
Exactly, because it's not just about goals and assists anyway. In the game, and I know you get points for that, great, but obviously there's defenders that will spend more time clearing the ball, blocking the ball, intercepting the ball. Same with defensive midfielders than actually scoring. And before, we hardly looked at them because we were looking about who would get the most assists from a defender point of view, or even the more goals from a defensive point of view. And now the Tarkowski becomes sexy, the Murillo becomes sexy, the Collins become very sexy and attractive, where they're not really that sexy and attractive. But now it's
don't
very
tell
different.
Their wives
you know?
That. I think their wives disagree.
Mrs. Tarkowski, Mrs. Collins and Mrs. Murillo. But now I'm hoping that my, you know, pre-assist or second assist point study at some point will come in as well. I'm expecting the FPL next year or the year after to come.
This is not
going to
descend
well.
Into a conversation about what we wish had changed. This is just to talk about what's actually changed. Let's not confuse anyone. The good news as well is it might sound complicated, but actually it is going to be added to the fantasy website. There's going to be a defensive contribution section so you can track it, so you can see how many clearances and stuff players have made, because otherwise it does feel quite overwhelming. Jules mentioned there some of the players. So yeah, Tarkowski is the one. If you've been following this on social media when this rule change was announced, Tarkowski's been the headline, hasn't he, really, because he would have been the one that would have really benefited from it. Caicedo as well. Bednarek, an interesting one. Houghton, obviously not at Bournemouth anymore, but yeah, there's some interesting players that would have really benefited. And actually Norgaard is an interesting one, Jules, because he's obviously made a big move this summer, and he would have got additional points for this defensive contribution.
Yeah, it was very important for the Brentford system in that position to do all of that in a team that was maybe at times slightly more defensive than, well, more defensive than the Arsenal team that he will play for now, whether he's a regular starter, comes off the bench, starts some games and not others. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, it's definitely one, or certainly this kind of player, and you mentioned a few defensive midfielders, a few centre-backs, would be very good, even when you build your team, to have that in the back of your mind. Because as we saw, I think Tarkowski would have got 44, 46 more points last season than he actually did. So 44. An extra 50 points, if you pick the right guy, is very big.
It's going to really change how we view our defenders though, isn't it, Sam? Because before it was just like we all went for full-backs.
Yeah. And I think particularly the fullbacks from the newly promoted sides, because normally when you're picking a team, and I guess we'll find out from you guys later how you've done it, but you would normally go, right, I need a 4.5 defender because I need to enable
Lundstrom,
the rest of my team.
I always look for the Lundstrom of the next season.
Exactly. And last year it was Leif Davis at the beginning of the season. We were all aboard the Leif Davis train. If you remember, I was very much a big fan of his. But this time around, this time around, it is different because I'm no longer really looking at those players. Instead, I'm looking at the centre-backs, because like you mentioned Bednarek before. Bednarek got 60 points last season from his centre-back position. But if you add the 40 additional points that he would have got for defensive contributions, he'd have got 100 FPL points out of a 4.5 million defender, centre-back as well. Like, that's really, really good, particularly when they're going to be bench fodder. So if you're looking at a bench boost strategy early on, picking a centre-back in a promoted side that's likely to have a lot of blocks, a lot of clearances, a lot of interceptions, a lot of tackles to do, they could rack up points quite quickly. So I think those sort of fourth and fifth defender slots will be really valuable to look at the centre-backs instead. And there will be teams that you kind of look at it and you go, well, do I pay the 5.5 million for Pedro Porro? Or instead, do I go for the 5 million Romero, who will also get a lot of those things? Or do I go even cheaper and go for Van de Ven, who's at 4.5? I went to Spurs.
Or do we not have a Spurs defender at all?
Or do we not have one at all? But that's a good example of a team where the pricing is spread. So you can kind of pick and choose how you want to invest. And I think suddenly there is a bit of a choice to be made between, do I go for the attacking wingbacks, who, yes, they might get some attacking potential, or do I go for these cheaper options, particularly the 4.5s, who might not always get attacking options, but if they pick up 2 points regularly every week, that's a really nice opportunity to get decent points returns.
Okay, then moving on to the next rule change, assists. Now, before Jules gets too excited, it's not completely become the rule change that he was hoping for. But I think this is good news, Jules, because the assist rules are changing. An extra 41 assists would have been given if these rules had been in place last season. So the intended target rule, if the goal scorer receives the ball inside the box, has been removed. So now it doesn't matter if the player isn't the intended target of a pass, as long as they receive the ball in the box and there is only one defensive touch. That does mean that if a player's pass is deflected away from the intended target but is scored by another teammate, they will be awarded the assist. Makes sense, doesn't it, Jules? Like, it's good.
Yeah, although they're cheap points, you know, but it's okay. We all take them. We've been raging at times when we didn't get an assist for one of our players on the deflection like that. So now you will get that. As a purist, and we all are purists on this show, obviously the show of purism, then it's not really an assist, but it doesn't matter. It counts for the game, and that's better for the whole game. You're right. It makes sense that you still get it. There's no point making the game too hard and too pure in a way, to go back to that. So yeah, it's good. It's good.
Yeah, we'll also be awarded if there's an unforced defensive error, which leads to a goal, as long as the error isn't a pass, so like a back pass, I guess. Have I cleared that one up well, Sam?
You have. The other thing that I did forget to write in here, but is also important, is that if a player forces a handball, they will get an assist for it as well. So we saw last season that if you hit a ball and somebody deliberately handballs it, you wouldn't get the assist for it because it was the defender that caused the issue. But now you will get the assist for that. So that's also nice.
Okay.
What's interesting about these is I had a look at the 41. Of course I did. I had a spreadsheet and I sat down and I looked at all 41 of them. So actually there were only two players that would have got more than one additional assist. So Cole Palmer was one of them. He'd have picked up two extra assists. And Mateus Fernandez was the other one. So he'd have also got two. But the other 37 additional assists would have been one for each of the 37 players. So it's great across.
So actually it's maybe, I was going to say, actually maybe it's not quite as big a change as it feels from reading it then?
It feels big. And I think across a 15-man squad across the season, the ability to get multiple of these. Because when I looked at them, there's a lot of them that I looked at and went, I definitely would have benefited. There was that Marmoush one, Marmoush to Bernardo Silva. And at that point, I'd have had that one in my team. I had Cole Palmer during one of these. So when I was looking at it, there was about four or five where I owned the player at the point where they didn't get that assist. But you do have to look at it. Like, there isn't one player that massively is going to benefit from this because it's spread across the squad rather than it being one player that benefits. So I think that's the one thing I would say. It would have been 37 players plus Cole Palmer and Mateus Fernandez with their two. So yeah, a reasonable chance that it makes a difference across your squad, but don't expect it to make a massive difference for an individual player, I think I'd say.
Okay, now this one I'm really pleased about because I think this one sometimes doesn't catch us out because we always know that AFCON is coming, but it comes after a period that's already really busy in the FPL calendar and hard to keep across. So I think this is just, the AFCON transfer change has just simplified things, I think, and given us as FPL managers one less thing to plan for, which, as we know, for Jules is going to be a great benefit because it's one less thing to think about. So basically, they've decided that they're going to help us manage the disappearance of some of our players, which goes from the 21st of December to the 18th of January, by giving us basically transfers to help us cover this period. So ahead of game week 16, we're going to get transfer pots topped up to the maximum number of 5 free transfers, to just mean that if you have got players going to AFCON, you can cover yourself and you're not having to bank up transfers knowing that that's around the corner. And this, I just think, Jules, is great because at that time of year, there's loads of injuries and stuff that you can't plan for. And then all of a sudden you've got an injury to, I don't know, Cole Palmer, but you've also got Mo Salah going away. It's just so hard to think about, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Did we get that, Sam, for after the Qatar World Cup or something like that? Was there something
similar? We got an extra
similar
wild card.
We had an unlimited transfer window around the World Cup before.
So not exactly the same. But I guess when there's a competition halfway through your season, so Qatar World Cup was obviously a complete exception compared to AFCON, which we know every 2 years, usually, or sometimes three, but it's there in the middle of the season. I think it's fair, really, that we get a little bit of help because, for all you know, I think in general, in average, I think there's like 25 players who go from the Premier League to AFCON who are selected by the national teams. It's the same in France, for example, in the French League. And I think it's fair that if your team is heavily impacted by that, that you can, be able to be helped and be able to replace them for the duration of the tournament.
How does that affect your strategy, Sam, or how will it affect your strategy?
She wouldn't have thought that far, surely.
I've got to be honest. I wasn't happy about this one because this was going to be my advantage over you two because I will plan for this stuff and you two wouldn't. So in my mini league, I was thinking.
I'd like to argue. He won't. I would like to argue that I will have maybe not two eyes on it, but one eye on it. Definitely, I will.
I think there is still a strategy, though, that you do need to consider here because, obviously, as Kelly said, it will be topped up to five. So if you go into game week 16 with four transfers, you'll only get one extra. If you go into game week 16 with only one free transfer in the bank, you'll get five. So you benefit four times. So you do have to make sure that going into game week 15, you use up every transfer you have. Don't save any at 15 because effectively then you benefit because, yeah, write that down, Jules. Because then you benefit.
Don't save any at game week 16.
Game
week 15 is
yeah,
the same.
Because game week 16, that's when you get the five added. Yeah. So make sure that into game week 15, all your transfers have been used up so that you get the maximum potential return for transfers because then that gives you an advantage. Because it effectively is like a little mini wild card then, isn't it? You can get rid of all the transfers that you've had. You've got these five coming in. And pretty soon after that, and because that's obviously game week 16 that it then kicks in, game week 19, after that, you're going to get the second wild card in anyway. So you can get rid of all the players that you don't want. So if you have, you know, lots of African players in your team and they all disappear off, you can use your transfers to remove them. And then you can use your wild card to bring them back in again. So it is, I think in terms of the game and making it as fun as possible, this is brilliant. It will definitely add, it will make it easier for everybody to manage. It's just that when you take it really seriously, like I do, I prefer it to be difficult. I prefer to have like really think about it and have a strategy and work it out. So now my strategy is going to be around my transfers, I think, and how to manipulate those five free transfers to my advantage. Whereas actually, I think before it would have been, how do I ensure that I keep players as long as possible and then remove them at the minute where I need them to go?
Okay. I thought that was quite a simple rule change that wouldn't take much discussion, but it's actually taken more than I expected, to be honest. Okay, then, bonus points system. And I know that this can sometimes seem very, very complicated. Guys, if you're listening to this and you think this already went over my head and it's going to complicate things more, hopefully we can try and dissect this, break it down and make it easier for you guys to digest. So this season, instead of goalkeepers getting 2 points for any save, they'll get 3 points in the system for saves from shots outside the box and 2 for shots from inside the box. So it just kind of rewards the goalkeepers that are making the more complicated saves, the bigger saves, the better saves, for example. Now, the points on the bonus system for a save penalty will also be reduced. I wasn't happy about this one, although I do also always seem to miss the goalkeepers that save penalties, so maybe it'll benefit me. It's not going to be 9 points anymore. It's going to be 8. Players will also have the BPS reward increased from 6 to 9 if they make a goal line clearance this season. That one feels really fair because that is literally saving a goal. In attack, if a player scores a penalty, they'll now be awarded 12 points. It reduces the rewards available to penalty takers. So it is now less likely that a late substitute could come on, score a penalty and pick up maximum bonus points. Now, that last sentence makes me understand why they've done it, I think, Sam, because it did feel a little bit unfair if they come on and score, pay 5 minutes, score a penalty and then wipe out other people's bonus points. But I think this changes the way we think about the game so much because penalty takers, straight away, you just went for.
I think you still will. I think the reality of this is that all it's doing is stopping. So there was a moment last season, I don't know if you remember it, where João Pedro came off the bench for Brighton, scored a penalty and picked up all 3 bonus points because he got 24 points in the bonus
system. I don't remember that because that was one of the times when I didn't own him. I just owned him every time he was rubbish.
Okay. Well, there was a moment last season where he did that and he came off the bench, he scored the penalty and last season, scoring a penalty as a forward got you 24 points in the bonus point system. So that's halved for this season. So what that would mean is he would come on, he would score the penalty, you'd still get your penalty goal scored points. So that wouldn't change, but it's less likely that he massively jump above everyone else. And I think that's important because you can have a player that's played brilliantly, like particularly if it's like a 0-0 draw the whole way along and your defenders have got picked up points, particularly if you've got someone that's made a goal line clearance, right? They've done all this hard work. They've passed the ball around. They've made their 10 defensive contributions. They've made a goal line clearance. They're well and truly on their way to getting all 3 bonus points and an absolute monster haul in FPL. And then somebody comes off the bench, sticks a penalty goal in, has only played for 3 minutes and picks up all 3 bonus points. Doesn't really reflect the game. that you're watching in front of you, the eye test stuff isn't really reflected in those points. So I think this makes it really valuable. Now, why I said I don't think it matters too much to the decisions we're going to make, Kels, is that you're still going to pick your Salahs, your Cole Palmers, the players that have got penalty responsibility, because in reality, you pick them because they've got more chance of scoring goals, not because they've got more chance of getting bonus points. Mm. So the bonus points is nice. It just means that from the penalty takers now, they just can't just score a penalty. They have to also do something else. They have to prove value in the game, which for me, I think is a positive thing.
Okay. I've changed the way I thought about that, even from what you're saying that. Go on.
The next step is that expected goal. Goalkeeper's points for save will be decided on expected goals. And if the expected goal is over 0.5, for example, and they make that save, they get 4 points. But that's the next. I'm just giving ideas to FPL.
That's not a terrible idea, to be fair, though.
It's a great idea. Thank you very much. I only have great ideas.
No, I don't know about that.
Okay, I'm going to move on. There's some new leagues that you can be part of for the new season as well, but it all depends on your performance last season. If you finished last season in the top 1%, you'll be automatically added to the top 1% league. Likewise, if you finish in the top 10%, there's going to be a top 10% league. Jules is trying to work out where he finished now. So there's even more incentive to do well this season so that you qualify for the league you want for 26-27. Sam, for me, this is a bit like... It's basically incentivizing people to want to do well, isn't it? It's like getting into the Champions League or the Europa League for the following season. It just keeps you lured in for the following seasons and gives you another reason to want to do well.
The best part about this was I'm in a WhatsApp chat with a lot of the other content creators, and there was a whole conversation when this got announced about who was in which league, because, and there is that like prestige thing about everyone was like, well, surely you're in the top 1%. And I was like, actually... I think I'm in the top 10%, which is really annoying because I think I missed it by like 10K or something. It's so annoying. But there is that kind of bragging rights thing about being able to say about that league sitting on your dashboard, like, and it will sit with your other league. So it is frustrating not to be in that. And it will, not that I can do anything about it. I'm not going to try any harder. I'm still going to try as hard as I've done for the last few years, but you do want it more. So maybe you take more risks towards the back end of the season to try and get there, maybe. But it's, you know, yeah, I do want to be in the top 1% for next time around.
Okay, we're going to quickly move on to this next one because this one doesn't really affect things too much. It's a bit of fun. You're going to be able to design your own badge for your FPL team. It basically allows you to describe what you want, and then it will create a badge for you based on the instructions you give. The only thing I'm disappointed about here, FPL, if you're listening to me, powers that be, at the beginning of the season, you have to pick who your favourite team is. My team aren't in the Premier League, so I'd quite like it if you'd let me pick my team. So my badge is going to be in homage to my team. That's the only way I can... Because I've had... Okay. Every year, I'm like, which Premier League team do I pick? I just kind of pick a random one to say which...
You can pick no club.
No, you can't.
You can.
Okay, well, this weekend when we were on the kind of test site planning our teams, you do have to pick a squad.
You do have to pick a team. Yeah.
So on that one, I had to. And
you
I used
do,
to work
yeah, in staging, you do. Yeah.
I used to work for Bournemouth, so I put Bournemouth, but I didn't really know who to go for. So yeah, anyway, that is, I think, hopefully all of the rule changes explained. Hopefully you're still with us and you understand, because we're about to get to the really fun bit, but I've just been told we've spent way too long on that section, so we're going to have to try and rattle through this next bit. A reminder, £100 million, FPL pounds, of course, we don't give you free actual money, is the amount of money you have. That hasn't changed. You've got to pick 15 players in there. Of course, you've got to get every single position. You can't choose to have loads of forwards. You've got to have 2 goalkeepers, 5 defenders, 5 midfielders, and 3 forwards to make up your squad. Just very quickly, Sam, before we go on to picking our own squads, do you want to run through the players who have changed positions, just so people are up to speed with that? Because that's something I know people are really interested in.
Yeah, so there's been 11 positional changes this year. So just one moving from a midfielder to a forward, that's Jarrod Bowen. So if you want to pick Bowen this year, you'll have to pick him in one of your 3 forward slots. From forward to midfielders, there are 4 of them, Mateus Cunha, Omar Mamouche, Cody Gakpo and Illamin Ndai. Then the midfielders to defenders, there's 5 of them, Lewis Potter, Mateus Nunes, Lewis Skelly, Nico O'Reilly, and then Rodrigo Gomez. And then just one moving from defence to midfield, that's Ryan Sessegnon.
There's a couple there. I think the Jarrod Bowen one is very interesting. And to be honest, Cunha and Marmoush as well.
Cunha as well.
But then there's a lot of kind of options now at Manchester United in the midfield, actually, isn't there? In terms of they've got new players, they've got Cunha, they've got Mbeumo, they've obviously also got Bruno Fernandes as well. So yeah, interesting to see how that one puts out. Right, we're going to do our squad reveals now. I'm going to start this by saying my squad, I'd be surprised if three of these players are in my squad come the start of the season. I found this so hard. I find this hard every year, but I found it even harder this year. And I think that's because of the price of the premiums. Now, what was the first thing you do when you do your squad, Sam? Do you do premiums first and then fill in around?
Yes.
Yeah, which is what I do. And that absolutely...
How many did you try and put in?
But the debate is the same debate as every
three.
Year, right? Is
you tried Salah, to put three in? That was
crazy. Salah or Haaland? Or Salah and Haaland to start
with? No, I didn't.
With.
I didn't do Haaland, no.
But that's the thing. I think everybody would start by saying...
What did you do? Salah, Saka, Palmer?
Salah, Saka, Isak.
Okay.
I don't have three of them now.
Interesting.
I realised I was being greedy because then also by the time I put in a couple of the more expensive defenders, I was like, oh, I've got no, literally used half my budget and I've still got to get another 10 players. anyway, so yeah, if you open the app like me and panicked, don't worry, you are not alone. Let's start. In fact, I'm going to ask you, who was the first player you put in, Sam?
Salah.
Same. Jules?
I put Salah and Haaland first. And I think,
both of them.
Again, I think this is the discussion that everybody will have. Can you put both of them? Mm. Is it one or the other? And which one it is? Because Florian Wirtz changes everything. Yeah, that's why the rest of my team is can I say
yeah. You just did.
Well, it's not great. Because I think one of them might go. I'm not even sure. I think Haaland and City are going to be so good next year season.
But surely... This goes back to what I was saying before, Jules, about it depends on what your strategy is. So when you hear mine, you won't think it's that great. But for game week one, looks all right because I'm bench boosting. So
maybe,
but then you
might struggle to bring back Haaland if you want after he scored two hat-tricks in the first two games. But you don't want to wild card on game week two either.
Why not?
I just think, for me, it all starts with Salah and Haaland or Salah or Haaland and which one doesn't go.
So you've
because
gone
I think,
both.
Again, I've got both because I think City and Haaland are going to be great. Salah and Liverpool, this is going to change massively with Frimpong, with Kerkers, with the number 9 they're going to sign, whether that's Ekitike or somebody else, with Florian Wirtz, who's going to change everything this team is doing. That this team has been built around Mo Salah for so long. These arrival plus the number 9 is going to change the whole dynamic in this team. And I'm not sure if Salah is going to be the main guy anymore. And I would actually say right now that he's not going to be the main guy anymore. So
will he stay on your team then? Or are you waiting to see what happens during preseason?
It's him or Haaland will go, I think, because, again, the rest of my team is not good enough right now, I think, to start the season. But I'm
Didn't
not guaranteed it will be
year as well?
Salah or Haaland. Yeah, but last year it was a bit different, you know?
Okay.
All right. So that's interesting. Let's go through positionally because this could just go into absolute carnage if I'm not too careful. Let's start with goalkeepers. Now, the goalkeeper pricing... That is really tough as well because I think there's certain players and I think over the weekend when FPL teased some of the prices and I think it panics a few people when they saw the price of Pickford. He was the one released being at 5.5 because I think in the past we've gone, you either go for your premium or you go for like one of your more reliable, cheaper goalkeepers and Pickford has always been that. But he's 5.5 million now. So, and that's the same price as David Raya, for example. Who have you gone with, Sam?
Well, I think spending 5.5 on a goalkeeper this year is almost not worth it, given that you can have the defenders who are going to pick up their defensive contributions and also the attacking ones for the same price. So I've gone for two rotating 4.5s on the basis I need two playing goalkeepers for game week one if I'm planning to bench boost. I've gone for Kelleher, who's now obviously the Brentford goalkeeper after watching his incredible save at the weekend that Brentford posted on social media. So I've got him. And then at the moment in the second slot, I've got Trafford, who is currently the Burnley goalkeeper, but is heavily being linked with a move to Manchester City. So if he goes to Manchester City, then that's quite nice, isn't it? Because you'd have a little bit of a cheeky bonus, 4.5 million goalkeeper at Manchester City.
So his price can't change if he moves to City?
No. Price is locked.
How is that possible?
So I've got Trafford and Kelleher as two rotating 4.5s. If Trafford does not make the move from Burnley to Manchester City, then I will not keep him as my, because I don't want him against Spurs as my bench boost goalkeeper. I'll move and look for a different 4.5 with a nice fixture in game week one. But right now, that's the strategy I'm deploying in the hope I end up with the City number one.
I went with Pickford and Raya, and I like Pickford's
11 million on goalkeepers.
Yeah, I love
no,
that.
You've got
I'm,
no
I'm
money.
A spender anyway. Pickford has
Jules,
Leeds,
do me a
Brighton,
favor.
Wolves. Let me explain to you. Pickford has Leeds, Brighton, Wolves. Raya has United, Leeds,
you
and Liverpool.
Only play one.
You can rotate them nicely. And then I've got Leno coming in for Raya because he's got Leeds and Brentford. And then I move back to Pickford for West Ham in game week 6. That's my strategy. Boom. I drop the mic. And
hold on. Are you also using a transfer? You've planned a transfer on a goalkeeper already.
Already. This is brilliant.
This is mad.
This is genius. Absolutely genius.
There's no way that you start the season with those two goals. No way.
Yeah. I like them a lot.
Wow.
But Jules, when you're looking around for money, you're not going, oh, actually, I could.
But you save, like, what? You would save, what? Okay, 2 million on Sam. But then if you have a five and five, that's a million only save, you know.
If you're not planning to bench boost, though, you can go for a 4.5, but you can save 2.5 by going
right,
for four.
He'll change by the time we get to it.
I'm not bench boosting.
I've currently got Kelleher and Vadimarsson just because I want Kelleher and I don't want to spend money. However, it could become Leno and I've completely forgotten the Fulham backup goalkeeper's name, but Leno was 0.5 million more. So at the moment, that's why I've kept with that. But if I decide that I want a bench boost, then it will change things. But for me at the moment, Kelleher is the cheaper goalkeeper that I want. But pre-season could change that. So yeah, that's where I'm at. Defenders. Okay. How are we going to do this? Goalkeepers are so easy because you only have two to pick. Go on, Jules, go with your defenders first.
Saliba, obviously, my king, my brother, my inspiration, you know, my muse. So it has to be there, you know, even if he's not good. Mourinho, for everything that we
but
said
he's
about
good,
defensive
though, so it's
contract,
all right.
He's excellent, well.
Mourinho, obviously. Ryan Ait Nouri, Paris born and bred, has to be there. I think he's going to be flying with City on the left-hand side.
Agree.
Mickey van de Ven, somehow, don't know why, because he's so cheap at 4.5. I felt a bit pity for him, so I brought him in my team.
Outrageous.
And then I've got Renildo as a budget one at 4 million. I think he's going to start for Sunderland. He's a good defender, good left back. I don't know how good Sunderland are going to be or not, but they've got a French manager, so that's enough for me.
Sam.
So I am risking starting the season without an Arsenal defender because they've only got one fixture in the first five that I would really want a defender for.
That's why I didn't go with Raya, by the way, because originally I put Raya as my goalkeeper and I then
and I'm wildcarding after that, so I'm just going without, and then I'll invest in an Arsenal defender after the first five game weeks when I think they look much more attractive. So 2.6 million, I've spent two of the most expensive in Ait Nouri. Not because he's Paris born and bred, but because he's playing for Man City now. And then Kerkez, I've gone for a Liverpool defender because I fancy them in game week one. And then I've got Tarkowski on the basis of I like the fixture in game week one and I'm bench boosting. So I need everyone to be good. Plus also the defensive contribution stuff. That makes a big difference in my thinking. I've gone for Colwill at Chelsea. Ideally, I would have liked Kukurea, but I think I might need the additional million somewhere else later on in pre-season. So I've left that be for now. And then obviously my absolute favourite player in the whole world, in Mickey van de Ven, takes the final defensive slot because I think he will do well from defensive contributions. And I suspect Spurs, I mean, they've got to be better defensively this season. So, and it's Burnley at home on the opening day when I'm bench boosting and he'll be playing. So there we go.
Okay, mine are Tarkowski, just because I was completely influenced. My goalkeeper choices before I saw the prices were I would have gone with Pickford if he was cheap or Raya, but then as we discussed, I didn't go Raya. Pickford was too expensive. So then I wanted to have Everton defensive cover and Tarkovsky's just obvious because everyone's been talking about him. Saliba because he's Saliba. Ait Nouri because of exactly why Jules said. Van de Ven again, just because he's 4.5, he's crazy cheap, but he could become a 4 million one, to be honest, because then Chalobah is my other one. Just because I didn't think he was too expensive. I thought he was quite a good value for money and I thought he was brilliant at the Club World Cup. But there is a lot within that defence that could change and one of them will become a 4 million, I am sure. Midfield, go on, Sam.
Salah. And then Marmoush, because no Haaland. So I wanted to go there. Yeah. Plus, I like Marmoush better as a midfielder. More points for stuff being in midfield. So that's good. And then I've got 2.7 millions. These are the ones that I think might change. But I wanted 3 Spurs for the opening fixture for that all-important bench boost I've been banging on about. So Johnson and Rodgers coming in there. Because Rodgers coming in at 7 million was cheaper than I thought he was going to be. So gone there.
You.
Yeah, much cheaper than I thought. And then I've got Caicedo because, you know, defensive contributions have influenced
me there
actually, as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted three Chelsea for the opening weeks of the season because the fixtures are fantastic for Chelsea. And I think that they're going to take what happened at the Club World Cup into the season. I worry that they might tire after Christmas.
Do you worry there
but
might
I think
be rotation,
we might...
though?
Well, there's bound to be. I mean, it's Chelsea, but Caicedo's been so important to the way that they play. So I'm not sure that there'll be so much rotation there. I could spend the extra million because this team I've built has got a million in the bank ready for tinkering around during the course of pre-season. So it could be that I look at somebody else at Chelsea instead. But that was the key in building this. I wanted at least two Liverpool, three Spurs, three Chelsea, and at least two Man City. So that's why I've ended up with that midfield.
Okay. Jules?
So Mo Salah, obviously, is in there. Mm-hmm. I've got Reinders because I could not get to Marmoush and I'm not sure how much Marmoush is going to start, to be fair, in this new look City team with all the new signings. Whereas I think Reinders is going to be there. I like Anthony Elanga, 7 million at Newcastle. If you think about the season that he had with Forest, the momentum, being in a better team, certainly in a more attacking team as well, I think Elanga could do brilliantly with Isak.
Will he start each week, do you think? Will he be a definite
starter? I think the
right
hand side is for him, yeah. So I think on the left, it will be either Barnes or Gordon, then Isak, and then him on the right hand side, ahead of Murphy, for example. So I think there's potentially something good there. For him, I've got Caicedo there for the same reason that Sam mentioned. And then Luis Miley is my like budget 4.5 midfielder.
Okay, my team is just a disaster at the moment when it comes to midfield. I've got Mo Salah and I've got Bukayo Saka because I wanted Arsenal attacking cover, but that absolutely ruins my budget. I don't think Saka will be able to remain because I've also got Marmoush, but Marmoush is just in because I couldn't have Haaland. Yeah. I have concerns over him as well, Jules.
But he's also the most expensive, so it's better to go for the most expensive one and be able to come down to the others how I viewed it.
Yeah, and then I've just got Norgard and I'm not even going to... I've just got John McGinn as my last one at the moment because I can't...
John McGinn?
I'm not actually going to have John McGinn. I know I need to sell Saka and I will sell Bukayo Saka because I can't spend that kind of money on him. But yeah. I really wanted him. So I just think that he had such a stop-start season last year and I just think he'll start really, really well.
He would be great. I agree.
Yeah. So, and that's why I can't get away from that. And I just hate not owning Bukayo Saka, but it's not my most sensible move. And Norgard I just went for because I thought maybe the defensive, I don't even know if he'll start every week, but yeah, my midfield is all over the place. Midfield I found really hard. Defence I didn't find as hard. Midfield and forwards I found really, really tough.
The other thing to say is I think we might end up playing four defenders much more often this season.
Yeah. My team is set up as a 4-4-2 at the moment.
Yeah.
Me too.
Mine's mainly because my midfield and forward are rubbish, but yeah. Go on then. Who have you got in your forwards, Jules? You can go first.
So Haaland, for now, I really think he's going to have an amazing season.
And then 4.5, yeah?
And then you and me, Kelly. João Pedro. I think João Pedro is a wonderful signing for Chelsea. I didn't understand at the time why people were questioning it. And what people were saying, it makes no sense for Chelsea to sign João Pedro. I thought, hang on, it brings you versatility. And I know he's obviously a very strong character. He's got a big ego, like a lot of the superstars. That's fine with me. I think he is a great fit for this team, him and Cole Palmer. I expect them to have a really good season. This season coming, we already saw in the Club World Cup, he'd been there 2 minutes and was already so influential. So João Pedro at 7.5 million for me is a bargain. And then my third one has to be cheap. And I went for Kostoulas, who just arrived at Brighton from Olympiacos. Mm-hmm. And if you like your youth football, and if you are into that, he's only 18. But he's probably one of the best 18-year-old strikers in Europe right now. He had a wonderful second half of the season in Greece. And I know Greece to the Premier League is a massive step up, but they spent £35 million on him because they really believe in his talent. So I don't know how much he will play or not, but Brighton start at home to Fulham, for example. And, you know, he might be great to have on the bench. And if I start with João Pedro and Haaland up front, I'd be very happy. But Kostoulas, I think at 5 million is a decent option if you're looking for this cheap kind of third forward.
Sam?
Yeah. João Pedro, tick. I think he'll be
in most
people's
second.
Teams.
I'm really pleased that he was in your team. He was my second name after Mo Salah on my team sheet. 7.5, I think.
It's
I think
a
he's
great
brilliant
price.
Value.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. And the Club World Cup did it for me. I was like, okay, João Pedro, fine.
He
go.
Can also, and people saying about rotation. Yes, I know they've signed Delap. They've still got Jackson there as well. But he, as Jules said, he can play. He doesn't have to just be the out and out number nine. So I think if you want to go for a Chelsea forward, he makes the most sense. Sorry, I interrupted you with a love in there.
No, that's fine. Because actually, about 3 weeks ago, if we'd recorded this podcast, I was all about Liam Delap, and I was thinking, he'll be the player I had. And then obviously the Club World Cup happened, and I was just Del Pedro. I mean, he's always been fun to own. We liked him at Brighton last year, right? So he's come in. I've got Solanke because three Spurs for Burnley in game week one for that bench boost. And then the third one I found really hard because I can go up to 6.5 million, but I've decided to go cheaper. So I'm going to be watching Everton in pre-season really carefully because I only need the third striker to play in game week one. So it's the Beto Barry kind of conundrum as to who's going to get the nod. So at the minute, Beto's there, but it might be Barry depending upon what we see in pre-season from Everton. But that game against Leeds on the opening day, I think that's kind of nice. And after that, they won't get off the bench. So I think I'm probably just going to go for a cheap. They just have to play in game week one. So I just have to watch those pre-season minutes really carefully and try and work out what David Moyes is going to do with that front line and then pick one of them, basically.
Okay, so mine lock is João Pedro because all the reasons I've just said. And then for me, it very much depends on what I do around with Marmoush, with Bukayo Saka. So I will put more money into my front line eventually, I'm sure. Although I also do need to strengthen the rest of my midfield too. At the moment, I've got Jared Bowen.
Oof!
Yeah, but I don't think, because I wanted Isak and then I needed a couple million. So I brought him down to Jared Bowen. They've got Sunderland away on the opening game. I like the Chelsea at home fixture as well. And then Forest away is a bit trickier for the first three. But to be honest, my three forwards will change. It'll be João Pedro and around him when I take money out of Saka. Because, for example, at the moment, I've just got Barnes in there as a placeholder as my third. But there is, now is when, with pre-season, I really will be looking a lot more at, we all need to learn more about, like, because Jules, you've just given us really good intel there on Brighton's new striker. I think the strikers are really interesting because, for example, I didn't even, Chris Wood had a phenomenal season last year, but I didn't even consider him, Sam. Like, I feel like there's going to be a lot of differences in people's front lines this year.
Yeah, and to be honest, I completely wrote off Isak on the basis that with the strategy that I'm planning to play, I don't need him for the opening weeks when I don't particularly love the Newcastle fixtures. And when they played Champions League football last, they really weren't that great. So I really want to kind of watch and see there how that happens. And what I'm hoping is that lots of people do invest for the more difficult fixtures. And then he drops a bit in price so that when I do wildcard and I want to get somebody in, that I get some benefit there. So I think it's really important this season, maybe more than ever because of the additional chips, that you know what your strategy is going to be. Because if you are going in an early bench boost like I am, it will fundamentally make your team incredibly different going into game week one to people like yourselves who are saying that they're probably not going to bench boost early on because you're setting it up for completely different reasons. You're setting it up to last you for a period of time, whereas I'm setting mine up for a quick win in game week one, play the bench boost, and then move on, ship out some players, take the money, and then invest it more heavily in premiums as the weeks progress. So, yeah, I think it is going to be, I actually think that the chips will make quite a big difference to two very, very different looking sets of Game Week 1 teams.
And don't forget as well, there'll be plenty more new signings between now and even the first game of the season. Arsenal will have a new number nine. Liverpool probably as well. Manchester United will have a new number nine.
And this is also why, Jules, I found the midfield and forward really hard because I was quite intrigued about Mbeumo being priced at 8 million at first, but we just don't know. We've seen how up and down Manchester United can be over the past few years, so it's really hard. We've also, it feels like Brentford are a very different prospect, so we've lost maybe a bit of interest in your likes of Wissa and players like that as well. So I just thought, actually, I think the point you made about Verts is really interesting too. And I actually thought it was intriguing that the Premier League announced player prices and they asked on their WhatsApp channels which player prices that their followers wanted to see. And Verts was one of them because I think a lot of people are thinking, hold on a sec, a good pre-season, I can save a lot of money. So that's why I feel like we're recording this on the evening of the 20th of July. People will laugh at my Norgard pick. McGinn, please laugh at me. Obviously, it's funny. They're not going to be anywhere near my team, but I just feel like there's still so much that can change next week. It's more now than ever.
That will change, yeah, for sure.
I promise you it will change. I will not have John McGinn and Chris Norgard in my team come game week one and Barnes as well. And probably not Jared Bowen either, but I just panicked. There's so many things to think about. And that is why we will be here with you for the next few weeks, helping to get those teams ready, helping to prepare you and talk you through, because as we know, Jules watches every minute of pre-season. So he'll be able to tell us all of the players we should have, whether it, don't worry guys, we don't need to have Mo Salah because Florian Wirtz is going to be the way forward.
Absolutely.
For Liverpool and for us. So yeah, a few more preview pods to come. Are we excited? I think I'm more scared by the end of that pod, to be honest, than excited. Excited, Jules? We know,
yeah,
Sam
it's
is.
It's more exciting than anything else, because now it feels like we're really into it now. And tomorrow you're going to get up and think about the game. Whereas until now you were thinking about holidays and the beach and the swimming pool.
Were you?
Now my head is already
on FPL. I wish I was.
FPL.
I haven't been on holiday.
Yeah, you go soon. You know.
See, I'll go at some point, I'm sure. Sam, and I guess this is where busy, crazy time starts for you, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's already been pretty crazy, but now we're getting into the fun bit. Like, now we're getting into the bit where my camera roll, sorry kids, it's no longer going to be filled with pictures of you. Instead, it's going to be filled with pictures of my FPL team as it evolves. And I'll be spending a lot of time watching a lot of minutes in pre-season and trying to get a view for how these teams are going to be set up so that as best we can, we go into game week one with the best possible team.
And also reprogramming slightly the way we think, because imagine if this time last year we'd have said you two were picking Moises Caicedo as an FPL asset. Like, that's what I mean. We've got to think slightly differently now with all of those rule changes. So make sure, if you're not sure on the rule changes, guys, you listen back to us trying to explain it, because things are a little bit different around here now. But one thing that will remain is that we'll be with you all season to help you through it. So thank you for listening. You can go back to your summer holidays now, everyone, whatever you are doing. But make sure you get on that FPL app, get tinkering, get planning, because before you know it, the season will be upon us. Have a good few weeks, guys, and we'll be back. I'm not going to tell you when. Just keep refreshing your feed. We'll be back very soon. Bye-bye.